Welcome to Sunday School. We're going to finish up this dispensational study today, get to the end, and now I've got something else in mind after that, found this morning. So let's let Bob come and do his thing and do the announcements and whatever.
Good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. If you got a bulletin, just a couple of quick announcements. If you've been coming on Wednesday night, starting this Wednesday night for the next three Wednesday nights, it'll be a quip series, and you won't want to miss that. You can see there in the middle who's going to be here this Wednesday, and then the following, and so on. So keep that in mind. The big thing I want to remind everybody about is spring forward. In other words, time to change the clocks again, okay? That's next Sunday coming up. So make sure you set your clocks ahead 1 hour and, get ready for it. We had one couple there in Ohio where we lived. They'd forgot to set their clock. Now, I can't remember whether it's back or forward. But anyhow, they got there and the parking lot was empty and they thought the rapture had happened and they got left behind. So you just never know, you know. So don't be one of them that, you know, you forget to set your clock and you come in here and the parking lot's empty and you think, I'm still left behind. You know, that's kind of a scary thought. So, but keep that in mind, if you would, okay? And then if you haven't been helping out or being a part of the Oasis on Tuesday, there's Oasis potluck and service project 11:30 on Tuesday. Keep that in mind. And then outreach, visitation and outreach. If you see somebody that, or you look around the class and you see somebody missing, take and get their name and send them a card or call them or do something to let them know that they are missed. And we'd love to have them back because we've got a lot of sickness going around right now too as well. So keep that in mind, if you would. All right. And then the big thing tonight is the fact that evening service with the Ambassador Baptist College Ensemble and Alton Beal. He'll be here. And then next week, we are going to have Brother Gibbs with us. Okay, Brother David Gibbs. He'll be in the morning and evening service both. So keep that in mind. And also next Sunday night, there's supposed to be a cancer meeting after the evening service. So keep that in mind, if you would. Okay. Okay, do we have any prayer requests on my left over here? Okay. How about here in the middle? Okay. How about the right over here? Okay. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Remember them. Pray for Brother Steve as he teaches. Pray for our children's churches and our Sunday school upstairs going on. Because when you guys are here in the second hour, we're upstairs teaching the little ones. And Sheila and I have the first and second grade. And then Brother Kyle and Aunt Miss Anna have third through fifth. So keep them in mind. Keep them in your prayers. Okay? Keep us in your prayers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every one that's here this morning. I thank you for your word and the truth of it. I thank you for the fact that you're a God that we can come to and you will hear us. You'll answer our prayer according to your will. Because we don't want our will. We want your will. And I just pray and ask that you would just guide us, direct us, be with Brother Steve as he teaches this morning. Just lay upon his heart what we need. I just ask now, Father, that you'd be with the second hour, be with Brother Herdman, and just pray that you'd just touch the heart, especially that one closest to hell. Be with those that have special needs this morning, for we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, Brother Bob. Thank you. Well, up until now, these dispensations we've talked about in the past or in the present, as we live in the church age, the age of grace, we're going to be moving on now to the dispensation of Some people call it the dispensation of judgment or tribulation. And it's the tribulation period, the 7-year period that God deals with the nation of Israel. And he deals with the church in the beginning of that, as we see in our Bibles that we can read that God comes back, steps into clouds. Now, he doesn't come to earth. People get confused in these last dispensations where Christ is at, where God is at, and in each of their parts, and how we mix in all of that as Christians. And then in the last, at the end of the 1,000-year reign, how people that have never trusted Christ, how they get brought back into the picture at the end at the great white throne judgment. And that's that. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit the high spots on these two dispensations today. A lot of people ask the question, well, during that seven-year tribulation, which I spoke on that about 2 or 3 months ago, how Christ gets the book. But what are we doing during that time? Of course, I've taught some of that too, where in the next great thing that's getting ready to happen on God's timetable is the rapture. And what are we doing as Christians, as the church? And then a lot of questions, even in my mind, and a lot of things aren't clear, but we can take some of the scriptures and pretty much pin down what's going to be. But there's still going to be questions. What are we doing during the 1,000-year reign? I mean, where's Christ? He's in Jerusalem, and where will we be? And what are we going to be? What's our responsibility during that time? As there's going to be people come across that at the end of the 7-year tribulation period, there'll be saved ones that comes out of the tribulation period and goes into the 1,000-year reign. And here we are coming with Christ back from heaven, because we're already going to be in heaven, and what's where we're going to be today. And there's all those circumstances and when and what's and where's and how all that happens. I think I'm going to just take the last two that we're talking about today and going to get into some details about all those and timing and what and where and those things over the next, I don't know, it may take 3 or 4 weeks to do it all, but anyway, whatever. But today, we'll start out with some prayer, but I want to take a verse in Psalms chapter 2, verse 12. It says, and this is some verses here in Psalms that apply to the kingdom dispensation and the great white throne judgment at the end of the 1,000-year reign. But it says in verse 12 in Psalms 2, we'll be looking at all those here in a minute, but in verse 12 it says, "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little." Now think about that right there, a little. So, you know, God is sitting in heaven today in Christ, and he loves us so much that his wrath is not kindled a little. Because it says here, his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that are put their trust in him. So this is talking about the end of the 1,000-year reign, the great white throne judgment, when all the unsaved in history, dead or alive, has to walk before God and is cast into the lake of fire. Because his wrath was kindled but a little. Praise the Lord for his withholding wrath from this age that we are in. And we look at today's events and think, why don't God just come in and straighten some of this out? Well, why did Christ go to the cross? Because he loves us. He loves humanity. He created us in his own image. The Trinity did. And his wrath has not been kindled a little yet. Now, is it on the edge? We don't know. The time is unknown to us. It's only known to God and Christ. So here we are today. And that verse says trust. The last thing right there, it says trust. It said, blessed are they that put their trust in him. Are we blessed today? Can you say you're blessed because you put your trust in him one day? I can. Most everybody I see in here can. We're blessed because we just trusted him for our souls to be saved. Then it says in Psalms 11:1, this is David, it says, to the chief musician, the Psalm of David, in the Lord, but I may trust. How say ye, my soul? Flee as a bird to your mountains. We can flee this wrath that's coming because of our salvation. We're going to fly like a bird someday. If we're alive and remain, we'll be raptured up out of here. Of course, the dead in Christ go first. Of course, it all happens in a twinkling of an eye. People's talked about how fast is that. That's fast. Let's pray. Have God's blessing on this lesson. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for what you've done, what you've set in motion. You give us a little glimpse in your word of how things will be and how you're going to take care of your church and how you're going to take care of the devil. Lord, you've told us from day one that you're going to take care of him, and it's coming. Lord, we thank you for all your promises that we hold in you and in your salvation. Lord, just give us a good day here together, studying your word. Pray for our services today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see here in this next dispensation, now the way we've numbered these things, I've got 7 and 8. Some people group them together differently, and I'm not going to part ways over that. In this outline that I've done, I kind of broke it down into 8, and that's okay. Some people say 7, some people can say 9 or 10. They just break it down a little different. And all a dispensation is just how God's dealing with people, dealing with the earth, his dealing with sinners, his dealing with the church. You know, there's, if you look at in the whole big picture, even from Genesis to where we're at now, you deal with 3 kinds of people: Jews, Gentile, and the church. Of course, during the church age, where we're at, in the age of grace, God looks at all those levels. And this next thing that's getting ready to happen, he's going to go back and deal with his chosen nation, his chosen people, the nation of Israel. Of course, we've talked about that in the past. And when I was doing this lesson some months ago, and we talked about the 7 sealed book. And it says in Revelation 5, and this is what's getting ready to happen. As we see in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He doesn't come all the way to the ground. With the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds, and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a day that will be. And it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. I have been and I will be comforted with those words. Because I know with a shadow of a doubt that I will see my loved ones then. I know that. As well as I know that I'm saved, as well as I know that this is God's word, we'll be there forever together. Now, we looked at what's going to happen some months ago, and that some of you probably remember the lesson, but in Revelation 5:1, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Now this is going to happen when this starts. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? No man in heaven, nor earth, or under the earth was able to open the book, neither book thereon. Couldn't even look at it. And I wept much. This is John seeing this. Because no man was found worthy to open or read the book, neither to look on the book. Now we're talking about a man. They were looking for somebody. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and loose the seals thereof. That all starts, that handing over that title deed to mankind. Now we see in this dispensation that we have something that man's responsible to do. Because during this time, we are going to sit in front of Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to be judged for our sins. Our sins are covered under the blood. That God, Christ, the Trinity does not see our sin. It's blotted out. The righteousness of Christ is on us because of his great salvation work. We're not going to talk about that at that judgment seat. We're going to talk about what we do today with the knowledge that we have in our heads and our hearts. What have we done last week for God? What are we going to do today for God? We don't have tomorrow. It's not guaranteed. What are you going to do this afternoon? It's not guaranteed. We have the moment. And I hope that I have some more time. The rapture could happen. Some disaster could happen. We don't know. God doesn't tell us that. But he does tell us that we're going to sit at the judgment seat of Christ and he's going to say, how are you doing? What have you done for me that's going to last through eternity? Of course, we've talked about the crowns that we all earn in different ways. Pastor's crown, soul winner's crowns, martyr's crowns, and on and on and on. We've had a lesson on that. But I think the most profound thing is when we sit there and or stand there or whatever we're doing. It convicts me that he's going to ask me what I've done that lasts eternally. Have you ever led somebody to Christ? Have Have you ever got somebody to come to church and they get saved? Have you ever had a friend cry on your shoulder and need guidance? You ever took the Word of God and opened it up at work? All those things. I'm so guilty of not doing enough of that. I'm emotional this morning for some reason. Because I've not done enough. Have you? Are you ready for that judgment seat? It's going to be a serious thing. Now, he's not going to be talking about our sinful life. He's going to be talking about our Christian life. Now, just let that soak in. Really think about that. What have we done for the cause of Christ? Because he's going to ask us. We all have that appointment. You can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. It's coming. It's coming at us fast. Time is not our friend here, folks. I've got this big hourglass that Pam bought me. Turn it over and watch time go through your fingers. We don't have a lot of it. None of us in here have a lot of it left. What are we going to do today? Because that's coming to us. Man's responsibility to recognize God and to worship God. We're blessed to have a church like this that we can come and grow and get our battery charged and praise the Lord and sing the wonderful songs and feel the Holy Spirit dwelling close. I like feeling the Holy Spirit's presence. It's a wonderful thing. When you hear that music or that verse read that touches your heart. You know how that feels? Y'all been there? I have. Pardon me. You know how that feels. You are going to be sitting next or standing next to the source of that power. You think how that's going to feel? It's going to be amazing. Just shout. I can shout. To even think you're going to be close to him. That's getting ready to happen, folks. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of the heaven, having everlasting gospel, and preached unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying the Lord's voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him and make heaven and earth and the sea. Folks, man's failure in this thing is going to be very apparent, because the church is getting ready to be raptured. What goes with the church? The saints. What goes with the saints? The Holy Spirit. And a lot of people say, well, does the Holy Spirit leave the world? No. He's ever present. He's like God, like Christ, part of the Trinity. His presence will still be here, but the effect of it is going to instantly disappear. And for that moment in time, talks about a great delusion. He talks about a great time that people won't even recognize that we're gone. Well, they will believe the lie of the devil. Can we see that today in society? I mean, I think we can even, I don't like to bring politics into it, but I think if you look at the polls and see how the voting goes generally, this country's at almost a great 50-50. Some people just, they don't care whether you kill babies in abortion. Some people do. And where's that at today? Where was it at 50 years ago? Think how it's changed. Y'all were there. I was there. And other things that was accepted today that was never accepted. I mean, you look at God's word and what God did with the Sodom and that city that he burnt to the ground because of sin. And that same kind of sin is going on today. And then that verse says, when his wrath is kindled a little, I guess I'm just an old fleshy boy. I'm just not very tolerant of some of the garbage. It just don't line up with God's word. And if it don't line up with God's word, I'm not in for that. I'm not painting no gray area. The world has painted such a gray area. It used to be like here, and you use either right or left. Well, it's gotten so wide now, I don't know if you can even get on the outside of that gray area anymore. That's the 50% that don't care one way or the other what God says. And when we have that rapture, and the influence of the Holy Spirit leaves with us and the church, and we're all sitting up there getting ready to stand there and have dinner with God and sit at the table and sit at the judgment seat of Christ, the world is going to go into a mess beyond understanding. Because as he opens that scroll, which we studied months ago, he gets to the end of wars and rumors of wars and all this and this and that and the other. And then he gets to the seventh seal, if you'll remember. And when he opens that seal, just opens it, heaven goes silent because it's like, what is God getting ready to do to the earth? We're on the edge of that, folks. For lo, the wicked bend their bow and make ready their arrows upon the... I don't even want to read that. The foundations that we live in today with this church age is going to completely disappear. And Satan is going to, or the Antichrist is going to come to the forefront. And when that happens, the 7-year tribulation goes on and on. Man's failure, man's moral conditions. And then we see God's divine mercy again at the end of this dispensation. Tribulation. I'm going to have to quit talking more less details here. The moral condition of the earth at that time becomes very, very, very wicked. How could it be much more than it already is? But it will be. And these godless group of people will suffer all the things that God is going to bring down on that part, this part of the world, in this world, all over this world. And there'll be some saved Gentiles, and there'll be some sealed Israelites that we've talked about some more. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. We'll come through that thing. We'll come through that 7 years. And then Christ looks down, he said, it's time. The end of the 7-year tribulation, he comes back. And his feet touch the ground on Mount Olives and sets up the kingdom dispensation, the 1,000-year reign. And we see that this time period is from, basically you could say, from the 7-year tribulation period, which is the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb, and him coming back starts a 1,000-year reign. And that 1,000 years, at the end of that, we know that Satan is loose for a little while again. We can group all that together in this eighth. And that's a lot of material, a lot of things go on. And the heathen are raging here on this earth, and the people's imaginations are vain. And we go on and on, and they're truce breakers. They feel like they can cast away this religion thing and they can do what they want to do. I mean, we got a society today that's almost like that. There's a group of people like that. I don't want nothing to do with religion. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to believe what I want to believe. What truth do you want to believe? I'm going to believe my truth, not the word. Preachers preached on that many times. What is the truth here? And all that's coming during this 7-year thing, and these people are going to get basically a quarter more. I'm getting back into details. And God steps back in at the end of that. And there'll be some saved people come through. There'll be some Israelites come through. We know there's 144,000 and all that we've talked about before. So we're in the middle. We're to the beginning of a 1,000-year reign. Peace on earth. It kind of goes back and starts looking like the Garden of Eden again. Animals lay down. They won't bite you. Everybody loves their fur babies. You're going to have some big fur babies then. Lions and tigers and bears. Everybody's going to be just having a great time with their pets. Big pets. But that comes an end to that. And what happens? I've always thought, how in the world? Here we are, and that's why I'm going to dig a little deeper on that. How in the world do we have these saints living here on earth, that being the church, us? These saved people come through and they start repopulating the earth. Think about the commingling of all that. And Christ himself sitting on the throne. And still, the devil gets loose at the end and brings sin back into that. That's hard to understand that. That's how powerful sin is. Don't you ever think sin's not powerful? It will sting you if you even fool around with it. Don't pick it up. But somebody picks it up and brings the devil right back into the middle of this thing. Well, we know from God's word that this dispensation ends with God taking out the devil and the Antichrist and all that that's going on during that time. But be wise now, therefore, this verse says at the end of it. In Psalms 2, verse 10, it says, be wise, therefore, O ye kings, instruct ye judges of the earth, serve the Lord in fear and rejoice with trembling. I mean, he's telling the rulers of the earth to fear God, rejoice with trembling. And then it says that, kiss the Son, lest ye be angry. And ye praise, from the way. I'm going to have to put my glasses on. My eyes are a mess. And it says, blessed are, there at the end of that, is a verse I read a while ago. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. Okay, so how much trust do we have? We've talked about this before. We've got trust for our salvation. We've got trust in our pastor, in our church, and people, and loved ones. But how much are we going to trust him in this dispensation and the next? Will God do the right thing? Don't even ask that question. But people say, well, how could God throw people into a lake of fire? He's a just judge. He judges sin completely. Well, I'm not a sinner. People don't even know that they won't even admit that they're a sinner. If someone don't tell them and read the scriptures and say, everyone's a sinner. See, that more responsibility. Because there's going to be people at the end of this thing standing in front of God. Now, I've had the question, and I've asked it myself before. Will we be standing there in the background seeing God push these people off into the lake of fire? I don't know. It says there's no tears or nothing like that going on in heaven. I can't imagine standing there watching somebody that I may have witnessed to that didn't choose Christ and God saying, depart from me, I never knew you. Can you see that? Does that bother you any? That's me. This last, we want to look at it as the last dealing with mankind. It's a horrible thing to see there's millions and millions of people brought up out of their graves. Those angels that are locked in there that did wicked things. They're all going to be brought up before God, and God's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And Satan and hell itself is going to be cast into this lake of fire. How does that work? It's hard for me to think about that. Burning so hot there is no light. And that's true. Look inside of the center of a flame. There's an area right there that has no light. I tell you, folks, we need to think about what's getting ready to happen. And have we done enough for Christ? Have we done what we're supposed to do? With these two dispensations looking at us? And we can say, well, I don't have to worry about that. Yes, we do. If you're saved, you're going to be standing at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to be a part of the church. You are part of the church. The church, not this building, but Christ's family. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to think about it. We can't just put it out of our mind. We live in the day. I know we're busy. We're hurrying along and going and doing. And families are off in every direction. And sports and school and on and on and on. And graduations. It's just so busy, busy, busy. Folks, we need to slow down and really think about what's going on. What's getting ready to happen. It's real. God's word says it. Like I say, I'm going to dig into this thing. I got to these last two dispensations, and I just can't I'm going to break it down and see if we can get some really, really good understanding out of it in the next weeks to come. I want to know. There's stuff that I'm asking questions about, and I want to find the verses and see if I can answer those questions. And one of the questions I've got is, and it may not find it. He may not let us know. God may have not told us. We're looking through a glass darkly. We only see parts. He gives us enough to give us understanding. There may be some things he don't want us to know because it would just, I mean, your mind can just go so far with the knowledge of God. But folks, one thing about these last two dispensations to me, and we can talk about all that details, and but is these two judgments. Actually, there's three. There's the judgment seat of Christ during the 7-year tribulation period. At the end of that, when he comes back to earth, there's the judgment of the sheep and goats. That's people that's left in that tribulation period. If they're not saved, they get cast into the lake, into hell. Those that are come through are sheep. They go into the millennial reign. That's a judgment. And then the judgment at the end of the 1,000-year reign, the great white throne judgment. So we went through three great judgments here. Where do we fall in all that? Where do we fall? Something to think about. What is my responsibility today, knowing all this information? You know, we look at these dispensations that we've talked about here in the last few weeks. And you look at the evil part of it. Look at Satan as a person. You look at him at the first dispensation and so on. Satan and the fallen woman started it all. Dispensation 2, we talked about sinful angels, what they did to cause God want to flood the earth. And on, Nimrod and Pharaoh and Judas and the scribes and the Pharisees and today in this dispensation, the liberal moderates, modern movement, 7th dispensation, the Antichrist, the 8th, the last, of Satan. Satan, 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 all the way through the things. Hammering mankind. Does not want people to be saved. Does not want people to be in heaven. And we can stop some of that. And the crisis, because of that sin, see that man was removed from the Garden of Eden, and all the suffering of sin, death, second death, and all that's going on. Then the flood, then the confusion of language, the bondage of his chosen race, and then the cross and Christ dying on it for our souls. The rapture of the church, the wrath of God, binding Satan, and fire at the last, the fire from heaven. Fire that comes down, says that Satan's armies surround the saints, and fire comes down from heaven and defeats that foe. In each dispensation, we see that God came down. God came down to us because of what Satan did, because of all the mess that he made. God came down into the garden. God talked to Noah. God said, "Let's go down. I am. Come down." The salvation of Christ and the gospel, he's ever living, did not die, rose from the grave. The Lord shall descend. Coming to the earth in this next dispensation, feet hits Mount Olives. And at the end, peace on earth burns up the devil and his armies, and we see a new heaven and a new earth into the future. Eternity. On and on it went. The devil, the punishment, and then God coming down to us, God's mercy. And it says he only gets kindled his just a little. He just gets mad a little bit. A little bit. I'm more mad right now talking about it than he gets. Think about where we're at, folks. Think about what you're doing with your minutes. Because it's going to impact the future eternally in some people's lives. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. God, give us mercy. Help us. Help us every day to say something to somebody about what God is doing for them. Lord, help us. I want to stand in front of you and be strong someday. Lord, we thank you for your love and your grace toward us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells richly in us because of your love and what you did on the cross. Lord, give us a good Sunday. Give the pastor good words to say today that we can hear the word, change our hearts, and maybe souls be saved today. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you all.